Hi, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in Trinity. Welcome. Glad to have you with me today. Today we're getting ready to celebrate our Independence Day here in America. July 4th is usually when we celebrate, and for some reason the Spirit wanted me to talk about freedom and the freedom we have in Christ. We are so often caught under this tyranny of false freedom, so we'll talk about that as well. We'll begin with prayer, talk about our topic for today, read some scripture. We will take communion together if you'd like to prepare now, and then we'll close with a benediction. So if you would join me now in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your love, your grace, your compassion, your understanding. But thank you that you have set us free in Christ. And we pray that we might live truly free. And we celebrate this day and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does it mean to be free? We live in a country that values our freedom. We value the ability to do what we want, when we want, how we want it, because we believe that that is what freedom is. However, I believe that's actually a false freedom, because in reality, none of us can do what we want, when we want, how we want, with whom we want, whenever we want, without creating a lot of chaos and suffering in the world. If we're all doing that, then we create a lot of suffering in the world. It may feel free at the moment to be able to do what we want, how we want, to do our will and our desires. It may feel free in the moment, but in the end, so often it either enslaves us or destroys us. It's a path to death, not to true life. You know, we have a lot of great freedoms in this country. You know, we celebrate our freedom of speech, which enables me to do this on the internet. Thank you, the Lord. And we enjoy our freedom to carry arms, our freedom to assemble, our freedom to own property, do a lot of different things that we're free to do in this country. And we're very blessed to be able to do that. And we hate it when they're restricted. You remember during the COVID-19 scare, we didn't want to cover our faces. You know, we didn't want to be told what to do, right? One of my professors, Dr. John McKenney, who was so important to me, and he spoke a lot into my life. But one of the things he told me before he passed away, went to his eternal glory, was that he wanted me to talk about freedom. He was writing about freedom at the time, and he thought that I needed to do that, to talk about freedom, to write about freedom, because he believed that our society today does not understand what true freedom is. And I agree with him. I don't think we realize that in many ways, our desire to be free has been seduced and turned into a captivity, an enslavement that God never meant us to have to experience. You know, the ability to freely make decisions, to own property, to do these things, it's a part of being a free person. And I believe God meant us to have a lot of freedom. In order to love one another, we need to be free to do that. We need to be able to love one another freely. But the problem comes is when we don't respect one another's freedom, when we don't make room for one another, and making room is a part of what we do, part of the triune life that we are included in. When we don't make room for one another, we create misery, we create suffering, we create slavery, we create a lot of things that are not meant for us to live in. True freedom goes way beyond the physical freedoms we demand and cherished in this country. So I'd like to pause for a moment and read Romans 6, 12 to 23, because this is our New Testament passage for today. And the Apostle Paul is talking about our life in Christ in terms of slavery and freedom. And he's only using that example in order to help the people in his Roman church understand what was going on, that they were allowing themselves to be enslaved to sin, or to be enslaved to being who they are not, rather than living freely in Christ, in the freedom he bought for them in his life, his death, his resurrection, ascension. So the Apostle Paul writes this: therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be your master over you, for you are not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? May it never be. The Apostle Paul is reminding us that the freedom we have in Christ, we've been set free from sin, set free from anything that is not in agreement with who God created us to be. We're set free from that. We don't have to go there anymore. We've been given grace. So he says, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms, because of the weakness of your flesh. In other words, he's just using this example to try and help them understand what he's saying to them. He says, for as just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So he's saying that as long as we're living in a way contrary to our design, we're slaves. We're slaves to that way of being, that way of living. But when we live in the truth of who we are in Christ, that's when we have true freedom. We're living freely in the way God meant us to be. He says, therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. So slavery to sin, to the contrary, being contrary to who we are in Christ, living in that way actually results in death. The result is so often death in many ways in our life. But when we live in Christ, in the truth of who we are in him, we find we have true life. So he says, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And understand that that gift God has given us of eternal life is life now and forever in right relationship with Father, Son, and the Spirit. We have this freedom to be who we truly were meant to be, the ones who love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, being, and love our neighbor as ourself. That's our identity. That's how we were created to live. Now we can because of Christ. And that's really the good news. So we learn in the scripture as we get to know Jesus. And remember last time I told you, it's a good idea to begin to read the Gospels and get to know Jesus. Get to know him and begin to have a conversation with him and talk to him. He's the one human person who lived and lives even now in eternal glory, lives even now a truly free life. Jesus was the only human person who has ever been truly free. And this is what is amazing. This is amazing that he lived under this Roman oppression, this human tyranny. Yes, the taxes they had to pay were oppressive. The military oppression was incredible because, they never knew when they left their house whether some Roman soldier would decide to make them an example, and either kill them on the spot or hang them up for crucifixion. You never knew how things were going to go. They lived in this legalistic religion that controlled every thought, every word. Everything had to be done a certain way, or you couldn't be a part of the temple worship. Jesus lived in the midst of this, and yet he was always distinctly and completely himself. He never stopped being who he was as God in human flesh, as Messiah. He had relationships with almost every kind of person, and yet he never lost his distinctiveness as who he was. He knew who he was. He never stopped being who he was. How was he able to do this? He said, and this is what's interesting, this person who was so truly free said, "I don't do anything unless I see my Father doing it. I only do what the Father's will is." Now, isn't that interesting? Don't you think that maybe he lost himself by doing that? No, he found himself by doing that. He lived in the truth of who he was by living in that relationship and dependency upon his Father in the Spirit. That is what's interesting. How could he be truly free if he never did anything unless it was what his Father was doing? You see, he understood what it meant to be human. He understood what it meant to be free because God has lived eternally as Father, Son, and Spirit in this kind of freedom. Because God's freedom, where he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, but he never has done that. He's always bounded it within the boundaries of other-centered, self-sacrificing, serving love. God's freedom is always kept within the bounds of other-centered, self-giving, self-sacrificing love. That is what true freedom is. And as God in human flesh, Jesus knew and understood what it meant to be truly free and what it meant to be truly human, how we are to live in right relationship with God and one another. Is that what true freedom is? Yes. True freedom is to be who we are and to live that out in this world in spite of what might be going on around us. That is true freedom. It's to live in right relationship, intimate, warm fellowship with God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and with one another, living in that oneness, that unity, that freedom. We're not doing what we will, what we desire, although God always honors a lot of that. We are focused instead on doing what our Father wills and our Father desires. That's hard because we think in doing that we lose our sense of self. If I'm always doing what the Father wants, then where do I come in? But the thing is if you were created by God in His image, to be His image bearer, to reflect His glory, to love as He loves, to give as He gives, to live freely as He lives freely within the bounds of love. Don't you think that that's actually a good thing? That we are distinctly ourselves in the midst of that? That God honors that? He made each of us to be uniquely ourselves and yet to live in that right relationship with Him. In reality, when we're doing the will of the Father, the desire of the Father, we're actually beginning to be who it is we were created to be, to love God and love one another. Our God, Father, Son, and Spirit, three persons in one being, each distinct, equal, and yet one, that's the image of the God we were made to live in. And so every one of us is meant to be distinctly ourselves and to be equal, and yet to live in right relationship with one another. This is how we're to live as God's beloved children, as His image bearers, image bearers of Christ, His Son. And this is the right relationship we were meant to live in. This is our place of true freedom. Is when we're living in the truth of who we are and we find ourselves truly free. Whatever decisions we make, whatever choices we make, however it is we live, is meant to be within the bounds of this, of God's love, because that's the way God loves. God lives. God lives always freely in that place of other-centered, self-sacrificing, serving love. That pouring out into another, receiving from them, always together, making room for one another. This is what we were created for. And so God knew when He created us that in our freedom, we might decide that we were going to take our freedom where it wasn't meant to go. God knew that we would probably take our freedom to the place where we do what we desire. And what we will, because that is what we believe freedom is. And God knew from the before He created us that we had the capacity to do that. And indeed, that's what we did. And that's what we so often do. We go off on our own. We turn away from Father, Son, and Spirit. We turn away from that relationship. When that is what we were meant to live in the midst of, to always have our freedom bounded by love. And so God comes in human flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, is willing to live within the bounds of our human flesh for a while, to bring us to that place of freedom. He goes all the way from His birth as a child, infant, child, through his adulthood, and then is crucified by us, dies and rises. Why? Because he wanted us to be free. He wanted us to be free from our slavery to ourself, our self-will, our desires, our passions. Because those things hold us captive and they lead to death. And He created us for life. God created us for life. He created us for life in relationship with Him and one another that is meant to be bounded, free, but bounded by love. We are set free in Christ. When Jesus died, we died. When Jesus died, the creation died with Him. Everything died with Christ because He was the creator of it all. The Father created all things through Christ and the Spirit. Christ died, we died, and when He rose, we rose. And so in that resurrection, Jesus set us free. He gave us freedom from these chains of our selfish desires, self-will, self-centered way of being. Anything that stands in the way of our right relation with God, He put to death in His death and gave us new life in the resurrection. You know, from the beginning we have battled the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You remember Jesus' battle in the wilderness. He fought those very things himself and came out triumphant. These things that tend to imprison us, he set us free from, and we can rejoice in that. We're free now to be who it is God created us to be, his cherished, beloved, adopted children, to share life with him now and forever. We don't need to walk in our flesh any longer. We can walk fully, completely in the spirit and in right relationship with God and each other. We have a new life in Christ. We're able to be face to face with God. No shame, no fear, no anxiety, nothing. Christ has removed anything between us and the Father. And we can live in joyful, right relationship with one another. This Zoe life, this true life of other-centered, self-giving love, where we truly are our distinct selves in right relationship with God and one another. This is what we were created for. And we don't rejoice in this just now in the spirit. We're meant to start now living this life with one another and then carry it on into the world to come, where we'll live forever in God's own other-centered, self-giving love and true, genuine freedom. Freedom be truly ourselves and truly centered in their life and love. So we come to communion with gratitude because we're reminded that Jesus bought this for us. Jesus did what he needed to do so we could participate and have this true freedom. We're no longer slaves to sin, self, Satan. We're free. We're able to live in the truth of who we are as God's children, loving God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and being, loving our neighbor as ourself. We can now begin to live in the truth of who we really are. So we affirm the essentials of our faith, that we died with Christ, we rose with Christ, we share in his glory both now and forever. As we take the elements, let's give thanks for the freedom we have in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for buying us true freedom. Thank you for the ways in which you brought that freedom into expression in our lives today. Any place, God, where we are truly free, we thank you for that. Wherever we are bound, we seek your deliverance once again. And Lord, I ask for the grace for each of us to live in the truth of our freedom that is ours in Christ. In your name, Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. So Jesus offered bread the night he was betrayed. So take it, this is my body broken for you. Jesus was willing to lay down his life for us so that we can be free. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus said, use the wine to offer up thanksgiving for him pouring out his life, pouring his blood out for us. There's something about freedom that involves pouring out one's life. Thank you, Jesus, for your offering. So now that God, who has given us the free gift of life through Jesus Christ, may he bless you, keep you, watch over you, smile on you, give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. Hope to see you here again on Our Life in the Trinity. Please be sure to visit our blog page, ourlifeinthetrinity.blog. And our Trinity Studies page as well. So God bless you.